Take your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Tonight we're going to continue to talk about being a teacher. A teacher of people and the duties of a teacher. And then we're going to actually get into how to prepare and study and prepare a lesson, etc. Just to kind of help us learn to be teachers. By the way, you don't have to just be a Sunday school teacher to be a teacher. In a way, everybody's kind of a teacher. And I always tell people, if you want to learn something, try to teach it to somebody. You know, because you can't teach what you don't know, right? And so if you have to learn it to be able to teach it, then you're really learning it. And it'll be a good thing for you. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read together verses 15 and 16 here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. By now you probably have it memorized, but we'll read it all out loud together, beginning in verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And this is a little bit more of a teaching opportunity than necessarily a preaching opportunity. But also, I am going to make sure to give you a point of decision to decide upon. And of course, that is the value of preaching. If you will. It's not just a giving of knowledge. But we did talk about being a Sunday school staff member or a teacher, if you will, in the local church of sorts. And our greatest responsibility is to win people to Christ. I am thankful for Dr. Hall and his relationship of the story of the man with the palsy and the four friends and bringing him to Christ. Folks, that's our goal. We ought to be those friends, those people that care enough about anybody to bring them to Christ. And listen, that's what being a Sunday school teacher is. You're caring enough about people to, thank you, to pass. He's holding up a yellow sign back there. You should have waved it at me and I'll turn it on. Thank you. We want to pass on not just salvation to everyone, that's the beginning, but if we've learned something in our Christian walk, maybe in our time with God and memorizing scripture or some biblical truth or biblical principle, we ought to pass that on to someone else. And I often tell people, we have a part of our training that I do as far as teachers go. I went through a topic this past year of why teach or why not teach, you know. And I was talking about how if you feel like you have something that you should pass on to somebody else, then maybe you should be a teacher. You know, if you have that drive, you have that burden that, hey, I need to pass this on to the next generation, then you should be a teacher. And listen, folks, we have a whole book full of wonderful things to pass on to the next generation. And so guess what? We should want to be a teacher. And so we should want to pass these things on to the next generation. Now, as we grow in our responsibility, in our maturity as a Christian, we ought to get to the place where we're starting to not just receive all the time, but starting to give out. Let me just give you this illustration. You understand that in the scriptures, we're made known of a certain body of water called the Dead Sea. Right? You understand about the Dead Sea. They call it that because there is nothing living. There aren't any living organisms in that body of water. And there's one major reason why that's the case, that it is so rich and so full of minerals and mineral deposits, mostly salt, that nothing can live there. And the reason why is because it only has inlets. It doesn't have outlets. So it takes in and 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 never gives out. Can I tell you something? The Christian life is not supposed to be a Dead Sea situation. God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, right? So that you can just gather knowledge, right? No, he says, so that we're a workman that needeth not to be saved. We're always creating something. We're doing something with what we have studied. And listen, folks, as we grow in our, when you sit and you hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, it is supposed to affect you and help you. But not so you can just keep it to yourself, but so that you can use it to help somebody else. And you see, it's supposed to be something that passes through you to someone else. We're supposed to be a conduit, not a dead sea. So we're supposed to have things flowing through us. By the way, do you think that God blesses you and gives to you for you? No. He gives to you, for Him, and for others. You know, God gives to us so that we can be a blessing to others, and He blesses us so that we can be a minister unto others, because that's what pleases Him. If we just always take in, what are we? We're a hoarder, right? We're a dead sea. And guess what? After a while, we just get so full that we're not good for anything. I mean, somebody needs to come by and pull the plug on our barrel and let all that stuff come out. Because we need to be givers of what God has given us. And by the way, we learned this in a certain way. This is just one particular way. There was a time probably about, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe, 8 years ago, something like that. We had this thing where people kept giving us garbage bags full of clothes. We're like, why are we getting so many clothes? Well, previous to that, we had been giving people clothes and having garage sales and just telling our church family, come on over, we don't want any money, just come pick stuff out and take it, you know, and whatever. And the more we gave, the more started coming in. So finally, my wife and I were just like, we got to stop giving away stuff. This is ridiculous. But, you know, you understand that, and we were just speaking, you know, tongue in cheek, if you will. But, folks, that's how it's supposed to be. If God gives to you and all you do is waste it or use it, I don't say waste it, but you just use it on yourself, then why would He give you more? But if you keep giving out, He's going to say, hey, I can funnel more stuff into them because I know it's going to get out. And that's what God wants to do through us. Don't become all gummed up and all full and then not be able to sustain life. You know, if they would just dig some trenches and drain out the Dead Sea, probably in a matter of time, it would begin to have life in it again. And so you've got to understand that we need to, as Christians, yes, we need to learn as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. But as you grow, you've got to learn to give out. And one of those outlets that we can give out, we can give out by being a soul winner, by going out and telling other people of the gift that God has given to us. We can give out by being a Sunday school helper or a Sunday school teacher, being a part of the ministries, being an altar worker, being a nursery worker. Listen, as you're there rocking those babies and holding those babies, you can be quoting to them scripture. You can be doing all kinds of wonderful things, giving out the gift that God has given to you everywhere you go. That's what really being a Sunday school teacher is all about. That's what really being a teacher is all about. And listen, that's what we ought to want to do. So our main objectives as a teacher is that we want to teach the Word of God. Now listen, folks. Opinions come and go, and opinions can change over time. But God's Word does not change. This is what's important to teach. And sometimes our suppositions or our opinions or our conclusions are what God has intended with the things that He has given to us. Sometimes they line up, sometimes they don't line up. But you understand, God's Word is the constant. This is what we need to pass on to the next generation, not my opinion of whether Ford is better or Chevy is better. We all know the truth of it, but, you know, we're not going to talk about that right now. That's not important, but this is important. And so we need to make sure that we correctly, if you will, rightly divide the word of truth. But our primary objective is to teach the word of God. That's why I like to be called a Bible preaching, Bible teaching Baptist. Because it's more about the Bible and less about the Baptist, if you will. Now, please understand, I am a Baptist from the bottom of my bald feet to the top of my bald head. Okay? But I want you to realize that I'm only a Baptist because Baptist lines up with this book. If Baptist didn't line up with the Bible, I wouldn't be a Baptist. Okay, I'd be whatever lines up with the Bible, whatever name that was. But it just so happens that through a lot of searching, I found that our kind of Baptist churches line up with this book. That's why I'm an independent Baptist preacher. So, we need to make sure to teach them the Word of God. We need to teach them that church is important. Folks, church is important. Church is, the New Testament church is the vehicle that God has chosen for this time. You say, well, church is silly and, you know, a membership in a church is not really that important. And listen, I don't care what definitions you give to it. I care what definitions God gives to it. And God says church is important. And guess what? Because God says it's important, I think it's important. And I want to make sure that every kid, every teenager, every young adult, every older adult, every married couple, that they all feel like church is important. That it has value. And listen, we as a teacher ought to teach it. And I was soul winning this week. I got to use this line. I always love to use this line. And I was talking to a guy. And I told him I was the pastor and things like that. And I told him, I said, look, I said, our most important objective out here is to give out the gospel. I said, we also would like it if you would come to our church. And I said, we think our church is a good church. That's why I attend church there. That's why I'm the pastor there. I said, don't you suppose that a church member ought to think that their church is the best church in the area? Yeah, I love that line. I don't always get to use it. It doesn't always fit, if you will. But folks, you ought to be, if you will, proud of your church. You ought to think it's the best church. If you don't think this is the best church in the area, then go find the best church and go there. I really mean that. Why would you settle for something second rate? You ought to. God deserves the best, doesn't He? And so we as teachers, we ought to think our church is the best church in this area. And we ought to pass that on, that sentiment on to our people. And by the way, it's not our church; it's the Lord's church. It's His church, and we need to make sure that we teach them that hey, coming to church is important. Hey, Sunday school is important. Sunday morning service is important. Sunday night service is important. Wednesday night service is important. Soul winning is important. Hey, these are important things. You ought to come as much as you possibly can. Remember we studied the word study? Remember the four elements that were included in the word study? One was labor, right? One was endeavor, right? Which was a journey to obtain. The other was earnest, which was a desire, right? And what was the other one? Diligence. But in other words, there was nothing that could sidetrack you or distract you or keep you from accomplishing your task. Right? No unnecessary delays. Folks, listen. The Bible says we're supposed to come to church. Right? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a man, right? But so much the more we ought to be here as we see the day approaching. By the way, the day is approaching, let me just tell you. But we ought to teach people that coming to church is valuable. And that they should want to come. Hey, I want to come Sunday morning to Sunday school. I want to come Sunday morning to church, the church service. I want to come to the King's Kids program, the evening service. I want to come Wednesday night to
to the prayer meeting and the preaching, and I want to be a part of the local church as much as I can, because I can't get enough of it.
I remember, I think I've told you this before, but I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in church, not this kind of church, but a different kind. But I grew up in church, and when I got into the Navy, I had already been saved, and I went to church on base, and those types of things where I was in Great Lakes, and then down in Millington, Tennessee, down to Pensacola, then over to San Diego, and then off to Sicily, okay? So I attended church, and because church was important. My parents taught me church was important. And so I got introduced to some guys that went to a little independent Baptist church that was pastored by a missionary to the military. And I got to meet them, and I went to that service, and really, honestly and truly, for the first time in my life, I'm like, wow, this is church. And that was the first time I had been introduced to our kind of church. And it just hit me like a breath of fresh air. And I remember attending for just a few services, and it just, there was this fire that burned within me, just like those two guys on the road to Emmaus, you know? And I just like, this is church. And I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, and keep in mind, I was almost 19 at the time. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to be here around these people and in this place every single day. I mean, I was eating this stuff up. I mean, it was so exciting to me. Folks, I had been a Christian for over 10 years, if you will. And this was amazing. And I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, why can't we have church every day? And he just kind of looked at me. He didn't really know what to say. I don't think anybody had ever asked him that before. I think people always kind of say, well, your church is too busy. You have too many services. Oh, can't we only come once a week? You know, and here's a guy, here's a young sailor asking for church every day. Folks, we ought to be asking for church every day. You ought to want to be with God's people and in God's house. And by the way, we need to pass that on to other people. Pass that excitement on to other people. You say, Pastor, can we have church every day? Yes, you can. I take Mondays off. But other than that, why don't you come on up here with me every day and we can have a great time. I'll preach to you a little bit. We'll do a little bit of work. We'll have a little bit of coffee. You know, it'll be great. We'll pray, study the Word of God. We'll fix things around the church. We'll just have a great time. We ought to just love church. Another thing is we need to make sure we teach them to live the Christian life all the time. Guess what? If you're going to teach somebody that, you got to live it. We got to get to the place where we want to be a Christian all the time. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I mean that we just learned that being a Christian is being a Christian all the time. That there's no, okay, well, this is my home. I can do what I want in my home. But at church, I'm going to do this. And at home, I'm going to do this. Folks, that doesn't jive. Can I use that term? Is that okay? Bring up a 70s term? Right? That's still a 70s term, right? You don't know what that means, do you? Okay, it doesn't mean it doesn't go together. Okay? You really don't know? You never heard? Okay, never mind. It doesn't work. it ought to work. When should we be a follower of God? All the time. Does it matter if we're on our own time or in our own home? No, I mean, hey, I don't know if this is where this saying comes from, but would you be embarrassed to invite Jesus into your house? If he came to visit and the doorbell rings, when our doorbell rings, I think it's, is it Mozart? Beethoven? Beethoven, it's Beethoven. Dun, 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 dun! Dun, 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 dun! Okay, then we have those musical doorbells, you know. Dun, 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 dun! Okay, it's a fun doorbell. Now you're gonna come ring my doorbell, aren't you? Just so you can hear the music play, right? Just don't come ringing at 2 a.m. I'm like, wow! Okay. Yeah. Careful. I have some things by my bed that go bang
And you might, don't do that. Where was I going with that? The doorbell rings and you look through the little peephole or whatever and you're like, it's Jesus! Quick! Hide everything! You know? Right? Like my poor wife. I'm the spontaneous type. I know you never knew that about me. But I'm the spontaneous type. And I'll invite people over without telling her. Yeah. Not smart, okay? I don't know why I haven't learned that just yet. But I'll come to her and I'll say, oh, I invited so-and-so over. And her all the blood just drains out of her face. And then she starts barking orders to the vacuum this, dust this, clean that, put this away. You know, it's like, right? Yeah, she does. And it's my fault. But, folks, why do we feel like we need to do that? Shouldn't we be ready? And that's what we want to pass on to kids, that living the Christian life isn't something we turn on or off. It just should be on all the time. But we as teachers need to live that kind of life. And then we want to build relationships with all of the people associated with the members of our class. You know, you may be an 8-year-old boy's Sunday school teacher, but those 8-year-old boys are not just the only ones you need to be concerned with. You need to be concerned with their brothers and their sisters and their moms and their dads and their aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and neighbors. And I mean, folks, every kid in your class represents a community you can reach for Christ. Because you build a relationship with a young person and you impart to them the Word of God. And then you're sharing those victories with brothers and sisters and moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and neighbors and friends and cousins and whoever. I mean, just every kid in your class represents a whole community you can reach for Christ. You, a single Sunday school teacher. And that's the burden and the drive that you need to have as you teach. You ought to strive to win your students to Christ. Lead them to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You should set the right example by faithfully attending church, going soul winning, participating in the church's program. You should try to get as many students in your class as possible. We've been praying for our young boys class. Well, we need more 7 to 12 year old young boys. We need to pray that God would fill up our church bus and God would bring in families that have boys. We already have a family that has lots of girls. Yeah, those Combs people. The Frankies, you got lots of girls. Some of the rest of you, Bunnells, you got more girls than boys. We need some help. You watch Mrs. Burkett's class go off to there's like 9 or 10 of them, and then sometimes poor Brother Burkett doesn't even have a class. It's kind of sad. We need more boys. But you know, we ought to be trying to grow our class. We ought to try to be building our class. We should be the leader, the promoter of our church, our pastor, the Lord, the Word of God, to all that are involved with our Sunday school class or the class that we're teaching. We need to make sure that we keep excellent records and are well organized in all of these things as a teacher. Now, let me talk to you about preparing. You've ever heard the term, if you have failed to plan, you have planned to fail. You know, preparation is so very important. Let me just tell you something. How would you like it if I, your pastor, came up to preach and just, you know, didn't have any notes and just kind of went like this and just stood up here. Okay, somebody say stop. Okay, get your Bibles and open to Job chapter 9. Now, I'm glad, I guess I had a bookmark there, that's good. but I might not always get that lucky, right? And say, well, I'm just gonna here, let's see what the Lord leads me to do. All right, Joel chapter 3, yeah. Let's preach about God's judgment against the enemies of His people and His blessing on the church. Sounds like a good message. That's the title from my chapter there. And I just kind of say whatever comes to mind, and I just kind of do whatever. And, you know, would you put up with that for very long? I sure hope not. Boy, you say, well, Pastor, you're the pastor. You're supposed to study. You're supposed to prepare. Yes, but so are you. I'm not better than you. I'm not, if you will, more important than you. The office of the pastor is important. But me as an individual, listen, I have the same responsibilities that you have. I'm a Christian just like you're a Christian. And we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And we need to study and we need to prepare. And that as a teacher, don't just get stuck in a rut. You know what a rut is, right? It's a coffin with both ends kicked out. That's what a rut is. That's all it is. Don't get stuck in a rut. Don't get to the place where you're just like, oh, you know, the pastor's so nice, he buys us Sunday school curriculum. So all I have to do is just take the book and go read the book to the kids. I get you the curriculum because I want you to have some help studying, but I still want you to put some effort into it. I still want you to read the lesson and study the verses and think about what you're going to say, how you're going to present it. It still takes preparation. So as a teacher, we should start preparing for our lesson as soon as possible. Here's a good tip. Study a little bit every day. I was a teacher. Well, I still am a teacher, but as my job, if you will, I was a teacher and principal in a Christian school for 16 years. You know, one of the study tips I always taught my kids, my mom taught this to me. If you read your notes every day, when it comes time for the test, you won't have to study as much. If you just take your notes and your curriculum or your Bible lesson or whatever you have planned out, and you just read it over every day, you know what it's going to do? It's going to get in you. And you're just going to naturally recall some things. Why? Because you've been reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. It helps. So study a little bit each day. Don't wait until Saturday night or Sunday morning before studying. You know, don't be the Christian that says, where's my Bible? Now, I say, where's my Bible? But I mean this Bible. I have lots of Bibles. And sometimes I'll set this one down somewhere here, there, and everywhere. But some people, they only have maybe one Bible. And they bring it, they pick it up to bring it to church, and they got to go like this. You know? You know? Because they haven't cracked it open at all during the week. I mean, really, why? I mean, honestly, why have one if you're going to do that? You know? But here's the thing. We ought to not just wait until the night before or the day of in preparing. We ought to prepare all the time. Hey, how about this? Read the passage of Scripture that you're going to be using in your lesson at least 10 times. No less than 10 times. See, why? What's one of the objectives we have? To teach the Word of God. Folks, you ought to be familiar with the passage of Scripture. It helps with a lot of things. Sometimes, especially if you're teaching in a Sunday school class and you're doing something in the Old Testament, name pronunciation. I mean, that's difficult anyways. But if you're just reading it cold turkey, it's really impossible. Even like the Bible that I have has a self-pronouncing text. How many of you? Now, I wish I could like push a button and it would just say the word for me. That would be cool. But you know, it has the little marks and it has the little lines and the little, you know, phonetic helps over the words. That's cool. How many of your Bibles are like that? Okay. Oh, man, I need to get y'all some. It's fun. Okay. Because here's a short E, long I. Gentiles. That's how you pronounce that word. Right? Ben, where's Ben? Oh, there he is. Right, Ben? Got to get the Ben double thumbs up. Yeah, there we go. Okay, now, we need to read our scriptures. We need to learn the main facts of the story of the passage. Write down any thoughts that you might have. Ask God to teach you truths out of the passage so you can pass them on to somebody else. Hey, listen, by the time you read it 10 times, you're going to have something to say. Because you're going to know what you're talking about. And by the way, as a teacher, it's good to know what you're talking about. What I think that one of the qualifications of a pastor is to not be a novice. Don't be a novice. I remember in homiletics class, they used to teach us that preaching is like filling a barrel. You fill the barrel all week, and you put in all these truths and all these nuggets, and you study your scriptures, and you study the outline, and you put it all in the barrel, and you get up to preach, and you pull out the plug. And you know what? Because it's in you, and how many of you like pickles? You like, or pickled stuff. Okay, it might not be cucumbers, right? It could be something else. You could pickle all kinds of things. Pickled okra. I've discovered pickled okra, and I've come to love pickled okra. I love pickled okra. But you know what's great about a pickle? It's saturated with the vinegar. See, I don't care about the pickles. I love the vinegar is what I like. But, you know, the different vegetables are fun. But anyways, what's great about a pickle? It has been saturated, right? And see, that's the thing. We need the Word of God to saturate us as teachers. And when you bite into a pickle, you'll, in every bite, because it's saturated, you always get all the stuff that's in the pickle juice. Right? In every bite. And so, folks, they ought to be able to get from you what God has put into you out of every bite as a teacher. So as we're teaching, we ought to be saturated with the Word of God. We need to look for Jesus in every part of the Scriptures. And that's a good idea, right? There's sometimes pictures of Jesus. Sometimes there's references to Jesus. But folks, who are we trying to promote and uplift? Jesus. And so we ought to do that. But you say, well, I'm just teaching the story of Joseph. Jackpot! I mean, in almost every part of Joseph's life is a picture of Jesus. And there's all kinds of things. And so you have to understand that these things are very important. Look for different names, numbers, colors, symbols, types. Is it anything that you can attach to the lesson that's interesting? You understand that in our world today, we have been desensitized. Right, everybody? Desensitized. You say, how have we been desensitized? By Hollywood. Because if something's not blowing up, if something's not CGI, you know, animated and created, and it doesn't wow us, and you know, the Death Star's not blowing up, and there's not, you know, superheroes flying around, we're not interested. Boring. I'm checking out of this conversation, right? Yeah, that's a tool of the devil, folks. I mean, how many of you? You have some sort of insomnia. You say, well, let me get the Bible. And ye shall know I'm in the midst of it. And the Lord your God, nothing else. Put you to sleep. Why? Because you need something to explode. You know? Because your senses have been dulled. Folks, we need to make the Word of God interesting again. This is the greatest book ever written. And we ought to promote it that way. Nate, can I pick on you, Nathan? They were doing, what were you doing? Bible Pictionary? No, not Pictionary. Charades. Bible charades last night? Yeah. One of the girls pronounced, the young lady in the Old Testament, Jael, J-L. However you pronounce it, I have to go look in my Bible for the self-pronouncing text. But, you know, this young lady, and at first Nathan, he wasn't really putting it together. I said, Nathan, that's one of the coolest Bible stories in the Bible. I mean, here you have big old bad Sisera, right, the captain of the Syrian host. And he's He's, you know, wreaking havoc and causing trouble in Israel. And this tiny little maid in this, you know, little unassuming tent, you know, she gives him a bowl of milk and says, come here, come rest here and things. And she's all nice to him. He starts to fall asleep. She goes over to the tool shed and she gets a big old stake, tent stake, and she gets a hammer and she kind of walks into the tent and bam, 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 nails the guy's head to the ground. That's cool. What a great story. Right? That's how my scripture reads, you know? Right? Yeah, that's exciting. The Bible's got to become exciting. And if it's not exciting to you, it's not going to be exciting to the kids. You've got to become excited about the Word of God again. Read the lesson along with the list of your students and pray that God will help you to help them. You know, maybe you're studying your lesson and you got a list of your kids here and you say, God, would you help me to help Nathan understand the wonder of God's Word today? God, let me help me help Ian to understand the wonder of God's Word. Help me help Noah to understand the... this ought to be part of what you do as a teacher. Use things like concordances, dictionaries, commentaries, etc. to help you understand the wealth of knowledge of the thing, of the lesson. Read carefully any literature provided by the pastor. Literature is a help, not a crutch. So if I provide you with a curriculum, it's not so that you can just do this at the last second. It's just to make your teaching experience better. Never just get up and read an outline and just read verbatim the curriculum. You know, that's what effort is there in that? What care and love is there in that? Be in a constant state of review. I've told you about myself that as I write out messages and things and put together stuff, a lot of times one sermon morphs into two and into three and into four and into five. Just you'll be amazed at what God leads for you to do if you just let Him. But be reviewing all the time. Be preparing all the time. Hey, look ahead a little bit. You know, you get at our church, we use a printed Sunday school material curriculum. And a lot of times, folks, you can look through and you can see, okay, all right, this week I'm going to talk about this. Next week I'm going to talk about this. And just don't study each one out extensively, but be aware of what's coming next. You know, and then maybe give a little tease to your class as you're closing. So they can be in anticipation and in excitement all week. Hey, teacher's going to teach us about this next week. Like this morning, I gave you a little tease. We talked about flee, right? Flee also youthful lust, but follow after. So we got stuck on the first part, didn't get past it. But next week you can look forward to not only just run away from and escape the negative in the world and the lust of all of it, but you should not just try to escape, but you should escape to pursue something else. And you have that to look forward to. All this week you could be thinking about, boy, how's He going to help us understand that we're not just fleeing from something, just aimlessly running away. No, we're running away to a purpose and running the race for Christ and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All of those types of things. We're going to be talking about that later on. So you see, you've got a little bit more. But see, I already know what I'm going to be talking about because I've looked ahead and I've studied ahead. And guess what? I could take to my office and I could show you the next 3 weeks of sermon outlines that I have ready already. And I could also take you to another place in my office. It's in a stack on the floor of about 25 more sermon outlines that I haven't got to yet. See, I don't need to re-preach material. I promise you that. I got no shortage of material. I just have shortage of time. That's my problem. I have a shortage of time. By the way, I'm done. Okay. Now, we need to make sure that we're doing all we can for the cause of Christ. Remember that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be teachers. Jesus Christ, our Savior, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And we ought to be a zealous Sunday school teacher and a zealous altar worker and a zealous nursery worker and a zealous Sunday school helper and a zealous soul winner. And listen, he told Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. This is what God wants us to be. We are supposed to teach and that the people of God can be what they need to be for Christ. If we're going to be effective as a teacher, we need to love the people we're teaching. Just really quick, flip over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. You know this chapter, right? Come on, Bible. There it is. What does it say? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Listen, folks, you can study all you want. You can prepare all you want. You can be as eloquent as you want. But if you don't love the people you're teaching, you're going to be nothing. You're just going to be a tinkling cymbal. You're just going to be a sounding brass. And listen, I can look at each one of you and tell you, those of you that I know, we do have some visitors I haven't met yet, but I will tell you, I do love you. And I pray for you. And if you will, my personality type, I tend to be a little bit possessive, but you're my people. Now I know you're God's people. But to me, you're mine. And I care about you. I want you to learn the scripture. I want you to become what God wants you to be. I'm sorry, I'm attached to you a little bit. But you know what? You need to love your students. You need to care about them. You need to make sure that you're not just teaching. You're not just passing on knowledge from you to them. You're passing on knowledge to somebody you care about. And you by the way, you got to show that you care. They need to know that you care. Teaching is the passing on of information. If your students don't get it, then guess what? You're not teaching, you're just speaking. So make sure they get it. Make sure they know. Be interested in your class, because if you're interested in your class, your students will be interested in your class. Prepare your lesson with your students in mind. Be spontaneous, be creative. Don't be afraid to laugh at yourself when you make a mistake. Can I tell you? It's a lot of fun. I do a lot of laughing at myself. I remember early on here, I think one day I misspoke and I said something about Noah and it was supposed to be Moses, or Moses and it was supposed to be Noah. That's funny. It's like, and you know, I make comments about me being odd and you being even. Those are true statements, but you know, you just got to embrace who you are. I'm a nut. I like being a nut. I'd rather be a pecan, but if I have to pick which nut I want to be, I like pecans. But you know, just be real. Be sincere. Hey, guess what? Be a living example. Be prepared. Make your lessons come alive. Hey, be repetitious. I teach my teachers in Bible college, repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to learning. Kind of like that joke, you know? Pete and Repeat were out fishing. Pete fell out. Who was left? Pete and Repeat were out fishing. Pete fell out. Who was left? Pete and Repeat were out fishing. You've all told that joke before, right? No, I mean, yeah. I mean, why do you think in first grade they teach you addition facts and subtraction facts? And then in second grade they teach you addition facts and subtraction facts. And in third grade they teach you addition facts and subtraction. Why do you think they do that? Because they don't have anything else to tell you. No. Because we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to repeat these things. Use teaching aids. Teaching aids are great. Object lessons are fantastic. Chalkboards, flannel graphs, whiteboards, all kinds of things. Hey, make your room attractive. Make it a fun place to be. Don't ever just take for granted that they're just going to want to be in your class. How about this one? Stay with the lesson. Now, I don't follow this very well. So let me alter this one for you. I'll just tell you what it says. It says, stay with the lesson, don't wander or chase rabbits. I'm gonna amend that. Stay with the lesson, and if you see a rabbit, chase it and kill it and eat it, and then move on. Okay, there you go. Anyways, last one here for tonight. Never be satisfied with where you are as a teacher. Now, we know that contentment in God is where we're supposed to dwell, because godliness with contentment is great gain. But don't just say, well, you know what? I'm a good enough teacher, so that's it. Don't rest in that. Or, I've taught this lesson 100 times. I'm good. I don't need to develop anymore. Folks, those are signs of decline. We need to keep pressing forward. We need to keep getting better. You know what? After 4.5 years, I hope I've made some strides in my preaching. I really hope I have. And some of you are shaking your heads this way. I like that very much. But I hope I've become a better preacher in 4.5 years. But you know what? In no way, shape, or form do I think I've arrived as a preacher. I don't sit in my office pining away saying, why aren't the great conferences calling me to be a guest speaker? Boo-hoo! My picture's not in the Sword of the Lord. I really don't care. That's probably why they don't call me. But you know what? No, I mean, hey, we've got to keep getting better. Doesn't God deserve that? And by the way, don't those coming after us deserve that too? And that's the heart of a teacher. Folks, we ought to be wanting to grow. Listen, if you're not to the place where you want to be a teacher just yet, pray that God will give you that burden and that desire. We ought to step by step. That's why we're developing something and putting into place something here called the levels of leadership. We all got to start somewhere. But then we ought to want to grow. Don't just be a level 1 Christian all your days. Don't just be a level 2 Christian all your days. Just keep growing in the Lord. Keep developing. Keep moving forward in the Christian life. Or as a wise man said, just keep swimming. Church is important to pass on what we know to be the truth to the next generation.